Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. Chris Hart is here with me as well, the mayor of Ivan City. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Andy.
Thank you for being here today. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Always in a good mood. I don't know. I know people probably see Chris and he's not smiling, but every time I see you, you're smiling. I like that.
I got a lot to be happy about.
Positive, positive attitude. I love it. And it's funny. I asked you, I said, you ready to talk about Ivan City a little bit? And you're like, I'm always ready to talk about it. You love where you live, don't you?
I do love where I live.
Tell us, maybe for those that are new to the area, we'll just do a quick recap. Where is Ivan's and what is Ivan's famous for?
Well, Ivan's is a small bedroom community kind of on the west side of St. George and north of Santa Clara.
Okay.
We extend over to the Shivwitz Reservation boundary. We're famous for places like Tuakon and now Black Desert that's hosting the LPGA here in a month. And has had the PGA here this past October. So we certainly have got the cameras on us these days.
Yeah.
And always a lot of wonderful things going on in our community.
When you see, you know, national, you know, you had the PGA there not long ago, and I think October it was, when you see TV cameras and the little screen pictures of Ivan's and it says Ivan's, Utah, what does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I've always known since I came here how beautiful the place was, but when they had the announcement event for the PGA tour event, the president of the PGA was there, and he came up to me after their little introductory program. He put his arm on my shoulder and said, we were looking back towards the Red Mountain and that beautiful those beautiful red cliffs. And he said, we have a viewership worldwide of 500 million people.
Wow.
He said, when they see this beautiful backdrop, he says, you're going to have people from all over the world booking flights to Ivan's, Utah.
Well, and it's true.
Don't send them all at once.
Don't come at once. But it's true. You would be hard-pressed to find a place as beautiful as Ivan's and those beautiful red cliffs. And
yeah, it's spectacular.
It's funny because I've been to, and we've all been to many Tuakon shows, right? But I find myself sometimes during the show, just looking up at the red cliffs and the rocks and the beautiful scenery, and I'm like, This is amazing. Amazing stuff.
When you go to a concert there, Andy, and I'm sure you've seen this many times, the artists come out on stage and and gesture at the mountains like,
yeah.
Wow, what a place.
Away. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We're talking Ivan City today with Mayor Chris Hart. Now, Mayor Hart has been at it for, this is your 16th year as mayor.
Yes, it is.
How has that been? I mean, are there things you know, things you have learned and you're better at now than you were not very good at 15 years ago?
Well, I'm sure there are, but it's, you know, it's a continuum. So you're dealing with the issues of the day all the time. And some stay the same and some change as you go along. But it's been a really interesting process, rewarding and fulfilling in so many ways. I think the greatest lesson I've learned over those 15 years now is that things go better when we have our community involved, when we're talking to our residents about problems. We've had a series of what we call talkabouts out there, dealing with some of the major issues of the day. Rocky Vista University has provided one of their big classrooms for us to do that. And it seems like when we sit down and talk things through that we can come to a resolution of things. When things are just left out there, they just fester. And that's a great lesson for anyone who's going to go into public services. Boy, be open and honest with the people that you serve. Listen to them. And not just listen, but digest what is being said and understand where that point of view is coming from so that when decisions are made, important things aren't overlooked.
Now, it sounds like you have learned a lot, by the way, as mayor. Having said that, though, you are not likely going to run in November. Is that true?
Oh, I'm at an age where it feels like it's, I mean, for one thing, it's I've been in this position during a time of dramatic change in our city, mm-hmm. rapid growth, but not just growth, but the advent of things like the veterans home that we cherish out there.
Sure.
We have a medical school, which is so unlikely in a community of our size. And now Black Desert, that is just a remarkable resort, and now things like the PGA and so on. So, from the minute I drove into Ivins, Andy, it was kind of love at first sight for me.
Yeah.
I recognized that this was an incredible place. And
do you remember what year that was? How long ago that was?
1997.
97.
Yeah, my family lived in eastern Idaho at the time, and I was winter weary as a developer and building contractor, home builder. So we came down here to see if we could find some property to develop. And our broker, real estate broker, drove us all over the county. We went up to where the Ledges is now and looked at that property and so forth. And he turned and came down Snow Canyon, which was just amazing to me how beautiful that was.
Yeah.
And when he came out the mouth of Snow Canyon into Ivins, I just said, "Stop the car! I don't. you don't need to take me anyplace else. This is where I want to live and build my homes."
Very, very, very cool. Talk a little bit more about the medical college. I think when it first came here, I think a lot of people were like, "Oh, it's some kind of junior specialty college, and not like a real medic," because we didn't understand. We really didn't know. We just it's got the weird Rocky Vista, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And so you don't think of it as a prestigious institution, but it's turning into that, isn't it?
Well, it was when it came. Actually,
yeah.
The first campus of Rocky Vista University College of Osteopathic Medicine, if you want to get the full name in.
Okay.
Is in Parker, Colorado, and they had established themselves as a premier osteopathic medical school. So we all know you got allopathic and osteopathic physicians,
right.
And they all take the same tests and practice the same specialties and so forth. But osteopathic medicine has a slightly different focus, a little more holistic, I think. So when I studied up, well, it was so strange the way it happened, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The local representative for the university came into City Hall and basically went into our building department and said, "Would you guys like to have a medical school?" Now, that sounds like somebody just poking fun at you, right?
Yeah, no, seriously. I'm sure you're sitting there going, "Well, now what?"
Well, I mean, I wasn't there, but I get this phone call from Kevin Rudd, our building official. He says, I've got a guy here who wonders if we would like to have a medical school come to town. And we'll tell him yes, of course.
Of course, yeah, but is he serious?
Yeah.
Is this guy, like, what color is his hair, you know?
I mean, they'd spent 3 years looking for the right location for this school. They started up north, I think, in the Provo area and worked their way south and nearly had a deal struck with SUU in Cedar City to locate there. And I don't know exactly what happened there. It seems like they told me that they couldn't find an area large enough for their campus. And so they had come down, they were working with St. George City. And on the list of properties that they'd been asked to look at was this open piece in Ivins, where it's now located.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Anderson, their attorney, he's a local attorney.
Yeah,
here. I know Tim.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Tim and his wife, it was actually his wife, said, "We need to go out and look at that property in Ivins." So it was a Sunday afternoon, he tells me. And they just drove out there and it's kind of an aha moment. It's like, wow, this is really something. And the rest is history. They ended up selecting that as the site, and we now have that fantastic facility. It's been great for our city. You know, we have these outstanding graduate students coming, some of them with young families, and it's transfused a really terrific element into our demographic.
So for someone to go to Rocky Vista, what are the qualifications to get in? Is it like any master's program, or how does that work?
Well, no, it's a PhD program, PhD, basically.
Right.
So
okay.
they have got to have the right kind of degree in place already to apply, and it's an application process, is to any medical school.
Okay.
And they receive probably hundreds more applications, maybe even 100 times more applications than they have available slots. So they go through an interview process and select those that they think are going to fit best in their program. And
so these are people that already have a bachelor's and probably a master's, and they're going to the
next
level.
Well, maybe some. I mean, a bachelor's degree, I think, is the minimum required.
Okay. And then, so what about, you know, we talk about the medical industry. They have to get, not only learn, of course, but they have to then intern or, you know, find a way to also get experience. How does that work with Rocky Vista?
Well, the university, has placement programs to get them, through their various, what are they called? When they get into residency, that is in and of itself a year-long program in one location. But the rotations, they're called, sends them to a variety of different kinds of settings with different types of medical practices to see how it's done, you know, in a variety of settings. And that's usually the majority, I think, of the third year of the program, and the fourth year is residency, as I understand it.
It's quite remarkable, really, to have an institution of higher learning tucked out there in Ivins, kind of off the beaten path, isn't it?
Well, it's on our beaten path, but but not everybody drives out there.
So, okay, let's change topics a little bit. In the news lately has been the whole Northern Corridor thing, and of course we got a new administration, and they're hopeful we can get that thing done. But Ivan certainly needs something to help people get from there over to there.
Yeah.
Is the Northern Corridor the answer, do you believe? And do you think it'll come to fruition eventually?
Oh, boy, it's hard to say. You have to go back to the origins of the Northern Corridor. If you'll recall, the lands bill, what year was that, 2008-ish?
Yeah.
The Washington County lands bill included an agreement that the BLM would determine some alternative sites for the Northern Corridor. It was recognized decades ago that there was going to have to be an east-west corridor.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get across this county. This is a complicated, from a transportation standpoint, this is a complicated region because we have bluffs and
we have geography big time.
Yes, we've got topography that makes it difficult to get places.
Yeah.
And so the county commissioners at the time and the federal legislators saw to it that in that lands bill, there was a provision made for the Northern Corridor. Right. Now, it was the Obama administration, and so when the bill actually came to Congress, the language had been diluted enough that it allowed for the kinds of contesting that has gone on, litigation and so forth, that's gone on ever since. And I thought it was out of line the way that because it had gone fully through the approval process, had a record of decision, as you know,
right?
And then litigation was brought against it, and it was reopened, and a requirement was placed for it to go through what's called a supplemental environmental assessment. And that led to kind of an overturning of the previous record of decision. Always thought that was that sort of had a shady character to it.
Yeah.
Not trying to offend anybody, but it just didn't seem like that it recognized first of all the origins of that it was part of an agreement.
Yeah.
So if you have an agreement, you know, you follow through with the agreement, right?
Water, yeah.
But a lot of people oppose it, and I understand that point of view. I'm an environmentalist myself. But the issues that, you know, the real issues having to do with protecting endangered species and so forth, it was not going to impact the tortoise. I've served on the Habitat Conservation Advisory Committee now for 8 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thoroughly familiar with all of that. And I've talked to the biologists about what are the real problems. Segregation of populations was a big one, you know, but there are ways to get to allow the tortoises to move back and forth under the highway and whatnot. It's been thrown out there that fire was a big issue or a big concern, you know, having a highway coming through that. And fire is a huge issue out there. Since we took over protecting the tortoises, we've lost a whole bunch of them, primarily through fires, you know, and drought. But back to the transportation side of it, yes, it's a problem. We're looking out at Bluff Street from your studio here.
Yeah.
St. George simply does not have the capacity to carry all of the traffic that is now, frankly, currently, but certainly as we continue to grow, that is going to need to move from the east side of the county over to the west side of the county. We also are trapped when it comes to getting out of the city to the south. And as you are familiar, I'm sure, there is also a western corridor planned
mm-hmm.
that will likely go through the same kind of, you know, contested planning as the northern corridor has. But we only have two ways into Ivins. You can come in on the parkway. Thank goodness that was put in place, you know, before the objections arose. And then through Santa Clara. And Santa Clara is a two-lane highway as it goes through town. So it's a little bit pinched down there.
And they probably don't want a lot of traffic going through their town either.
And they don't.
Yeah.
So we desperately need to have at least a section of what would be regarded as the Western Corridor. Now it's referred to as Hamblin Parkway, which I like better. We need to have a section of that built that would terminate at this point at Highway 91, but extend down to Tahnequint, which would allow folks coming from the airport or coming from I-15 to get off on Dixie Drive, drive a mile and a half or whatever up to Tahnequint, and then veer off and come straight up into essentially the edge of Santa Clara and Ivins, and then veer off from there.
There is obviously some big-time money with Black Desert Resort. Do you think they will have any influence on any of these roads? Money talks sometimes.
I don't think it's money. What I think it is the practical reality that they're going to have 2,000 or 3,000 people coming back and forth to that facility. So they're not permanent residents, but a lot of them are still going to be driving cars. So when it comes to transportation, whether it's the people who live there or the people who are visiting, it's still traffic that has to be accounted for.
Yeah.
And Black Desert, I'm sure know, has acquired Red Mountain Resort, and their plans are to expand that here in the years ahead. And we have other resorts coming online. Santa Clara is also a destination resort community now. They've got roughly 1,000 STR, short-term rental rooms, a couple of really significant resorts on the bench there in Santa Clara. So you add all that together, and you know, you have the potential of there being an extra 5,000 people in town. Well, for two communities that are roughly 10,000 or fewer each, that's a really significant additional traffic load. So there's some things we need to get done for sure. We're just going to have to sit out there in our houses and wait till everybody else is gone where they need to go to go to the store.
Yeah, I love. By the way, I love Santa Clara and Ivins. I really do. I've never lived in either community.
Well,
which
shame
is
on
a
you.
Problem. Yeah, I need to fix that. But maybe when they get a couple of them corridors done, I can move out there because I got to be able to get into work and stuff.
Well, I mean, people that travel back and forth know it's congested. Right as it stands right now, we're able to get around. I'm not suggesting that you just are in stop and go traffic all the time, but. There are very sophisticated modeling programs, traffic modeling programs that the Metropolitan Planning Organization, our regional transportation planners, go through. And it's going to reach a point where we're going to be waiting two or three rotations on the traffic lights trying to get through St. George. And that's not a healthy, for one thing, environmentally, that's not a positive,
bad,
right?
Yeah.
But it's also just so... So difficult to schedule around those kinds of delays.
Well, and you know, I had the policeman on the other day, and basically, once you start, if you have to sit through a light or two, the likelihood of you breaking the law, you know, maybe running a red light or you know, maybe it's a little orange or pink or whatever, that goes up because people get frustrated. They get tired of sitting there. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. We're talking with Mayor Chris Hart. I'm going to take a break, Chris, if that's okay with you, and we'll get a weather update in.
It's your show.
Yeah. Well, we got to pay bills. You know how that goes. And then when we come back, lots more to talk about with Ivins. By the way, Zach Renstrom yesterday said, thank goodness whoever it was 100 years ago decided to build Ivins Reservoir. That's been a really boon to the water supply here in southern Utah.
The oldest one in the county.
It is. Yep. All right, let's check weather. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the show. I am Andy Griffin. It's Mayor Thursday, and Mayor Chris Hart has agreed to hang out with us today. I haven't talked to Chris in a couple of months, but it's good to have you on, Chris.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. I always say this, and Chris, I don't know if he believes me or not, but he looks like he's, you know, in his early 60s, but you're a little bit older than that.
Yeah, 77 this year.
77. That's hard for me to believe. All right. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but somebody did text in, why or... are they extending the tortoise fencing north along the freeway? I noticed new fence being installed. I didn't know that. Did you?
The fencing project around the HCP is ongoing. So
okay.
I don't know the specific locations where they're doing that, but there's always some being done.
Well, we certainly don't want sending north along the freeway. We definitely don't want tortoises on the freeway.
No, for sure.
That would be bad. We'll build them an underpass if we need to, but don't tortoises go in there. Ivins City, of course, in the western part of the county, and, of course, home to Tuacon. I saw some, well, let's see if I can find that. It's also said something about the Anasazi. Tell me about the Anasazi. Now I lost it. Oh, I don't know. Petroglyphs?
The trail to the petroglyphs.
Trail to the petroglyphs.
Yeah, very popular hike, a family type of hike. It's not long.
Okay.
Uphill a little bit, but yes, there are rock formations, kind of on the south hills of Ivins, that have got. Lots and lots of petroglyphs that are interesting.
Where's that trailhead at?
So
the reason I'm asking is my birthday's Saturday, and I was looking for a good hike.
Yeah,
it sounds like a good one.
Go do it. As you travel on Highway 91 out towards the exit to Kayenta,
uh-huh.
Before you reach that, off to your left, and it's there's signage there to point you to it, is a dirt road that turns off to the south, and it's a very short drive, a few hundred yards to get down to the trailhead. Nice parking area there and a kiosk to inform you as to what you're going to see. And like I say, the trail is relatively easy. You see kids there all the time. But it's fascinating when you get up there to look at these engraved or carved, you know, pictures in the stone.
Nice. Sounds fun. My wife was asking me, what are you going to do on your birthday? I said, I don't know.
That's a good one.
That sounds like a good little hike to do.
Fortunately, you're not as old as the petroglyphs, but...
No.
It'll be getting there.
59 this year. So.
Wow.
I know this. I looked in the mirror and there was a lot of gray hair and I'm like, where did that come from? What's going on here?
So. It looks distinguished.
That's what my wife said. How come you guys look distinguished, but when we get gray hair, we just look old? I said, I don't know.
Not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. Chris, of course, is the mayor of Ivan City. What's your population approximately right now?
About 11,000. If you don't count the part-timers, we have probably another close to 3,000 folks that come intermittently with the second homes there.
Would you say most of those second homes are from people up northern Utah, Idaho? Where are they coming
really,
from?
Really, all over the place. But yes, I think the majority still comes from northern Utah.
So they might be here now. They will probably be here through.
We see a lot of them through the winter months. Yep.
Yeah, getting out of that snow. I don't know about you, and you're from eastern Idaho. Snow is a part of life there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going up, by the way, the family, we're going up to have a Yellowstone vacation this summer. And I know that's not in Idaho, but it's up in that neck of the woods. And
yeah, it's
pretty excited about that.
You'll love that.
Yeah. Grand Tetons are close too.
Grand Tetons right next door. Yep.
It's going to be fun. Should I call you and get some tips on where to go and what to do? Or is that too far away from where you were?
No. We went there all the time, a couple of times a summer.
Nice. I know this. Do not challenge a buffalo or a bison.
Yeah.
Just stay away from them.
Yeah, or the bears.
Or the bears,
It's just dumb.
That's absolutely true. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned you had, what did you call them, talkabouts? Where you had people come in. As you kind of took the pulse of Ivan City citizens, what did you feel like some of the concerns were?
Well, there's a range. Probably the number one is water and growth. Here we are, this quiet bedroom community, and a lot of concern about the rapid growth. You know, new developments, higher densities coming into town, and a lot of resistance to that. So. We'd have our public hearings, you know, when a zone change took place, like you're required to do by law. But that just didn't give people a chance to really express themselves. You've got 2 or 3 minutes to voice your concern.
Right.
You and I cover 2 or 3 minutes just almost instantly, right?
Yeah.
And so I approached Rocky Vista University's president and asked if they would open one of their auditorium classrooms that seat roughly 250 people.
Nice.
And have microphones interspersed all the way through the classroom so they can communicate with the professors. If they would host these events we called talkabouts, and we would focus on one particular issue like water. And so Zach Renstrom has been to at least 2 or 3 of those.
Mm-hmm.
But other experts, so that our residents could not only talk to me, and I only had a few of the answers that they were looking for, but the other experts there on stage that could respond to engineering questions and a variety of others that could be fielded. And so if you went back, 3 or 4 years, the temperature in Ivins, if we could put it that way, was fairly high. We had a fever.
Hmm.
And I think... at least in part, maybe largely due to these talkabouts, we were able to bring that temperature down just by educating and developing an understanding. And it's a two-way thing. It wasn't just us talking at our residents who set an evening aside to come and join us, but it was listening to them and having the answers to these questions being given that everybody left with a better understanding, better handle on the problem than they came with. And it led to resolution on a number of serious issues.
That is, to me, that's huge. I mean, of course, we have the radio shows, and we get mayors on occasionally, and people call in or text in and talk to the mayors, but... to have a public forum, and I like what you said, too, about the experts, because I try to do that with this show. I'm not really an expert on much. You know, a couple of music and sports are my two best things, but I like to bring experts in and get someone who knows exactly. You're an expert on Ivan City, for instance, and some other areas, but I like to get experts in who do know the answers to these questions. And, sure. And for you to do that, have a talk about it and bring experts in like Zach Renstrom and say, all right, what you got? Throw it at us. We're ready for you. Let's talk.
Well, there are a lot of misconceptions, as you know. Social media has made it easy for someone to decide that something's true and then propagate it, you know, out of across the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a great thing in some ways, except that misinformation is regarded often as information,
right?
And the misconceptions that are out there are really damaging to trying to solve problems. So, I mean, we get emails all of the time. Myself, our city manager, the city council, all of us communicate with our residents individually, but that doesn't give the residents the benefit of hearing other residents and their concerns and questions, and that's what these events solved, is we're all together.
Were you surprised at one or two of the questions? Like, did stuff pop up that you didn't even think was an issue, and you were able to
always,
go, oh,
always.
Really?
Well, you know, everyone has their point of view. Everyone has their situation, right? And concerns grow out of how is this going to impact me or impact my family?
Sure.
And sometimes it's right next door to you. You know, if a new development is happening right across your fence, you have a real concern about it, right? I mean, the NIMBY thing, there's some justification to NIMBYism. I mean, anybody has a protective sense about their family and their properties and so forth. So it's that's why the public process was designed so that all of these concerns could be looked at, understood, and then used as a part of the decision-making process. And very often, something that seems to be a slam dunk, after a public hearing, a comment will be made that sways the decision a slightly different direction out of regard for. I mean, people are generally pretty smart. Right. We've got a lot of brilliant people out there, and when they think of something, it shouldn't be overlooked. That would be the foolish thing, is to not pay attention to something that someone has thought through carefully and is prepared to present to you.
Yeah, that is well said. And, you know, I had a guy call me yesterday talking about the water situation. He called me on my cell phone, and we just chatted for a while. And, you know, it would be easy for me to go, you know, whatever. But instead, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, thank you for taking. I mean, when they take the time to go to one of your meetings or to call me on the cell phone, they obviously have something that they've thought a lot about and want to talk about. So.
I mean, not everything proves to be completely true.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it doesn't feel that way to the individual who's come upon this point of view.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I mean, a democratic society is designed around us paying attention to our constituents.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got to get another commercial break in. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about NIMBYism, not in my backyard. And, you know, we've had a lot of discussion on this show the last few days about a lot of people are like, don't let them build anymore. Stop them. This is ridiculous. We're running out of water. Is that true? And do we believe in people's rights? If you own property, you know, you can someone really tell you not to do something on it? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. About 10 minutes left in the show. Mayor Chris Hart is with me of Ivan City. Mayor, thank you again for coming today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy.
Mayor Hart has been the mayor of Ivan's for almost 16 years.
Yes.
That's a long time. That's a big chunk of your life. That's like, what, one-fifth of your life or something.
You know what? It's been just an honor and a pleasure, actually.
That's really cool. In your previous life, actually, I guess not in your current life, you are a builder and developer, right?
Yes.
And so you have a unique position on the whole, you know, they should stop building, they should stop developing, we're going to run out of water. And I'm just curious from your perspective now, when someone says, I know I just moved here and just built 3 years ago, but we're running out of water, they shouldn't let anybody else do that. What do you think when someone says that?
Well, we've run out of water half a dozen times over the last 100 years. So,
yeah, true. And always have found a way.
But you can't take that lightly. The fact is that we live in an area that has one water source. That's the Virgin River drainage.
Right.
We've allocated it fully. So one of the options certainly was and is flip the switch, cut off all development, and we have enough for those of us who are here. That would be pretty devastating, you know, to the economy here, since roughly 35% or 40% of all the jobs here are growth related. But you know, that's probably not of concern to someone who's come here with their retirement savings in the bank, and they just want to enjoy that last stage of life.
Yeah.
In a quiet community like ours. So I totally understand the resistance to development, and that comes for a variety of reasons. You know, I don't like the density of what's being proposed here or whatever else. So it's always a matter of balancing the rights of residents who live in your community versus those of property owners who have land that is their right to develop. So the solution is to solve the problems related to development, and you have to give the water district credit. The 20-year plan that's 2 years old now, so the 18-year plan out there, through two main mechanisms, water conservation, which has been a very successful effort, and now the development of a major reuse treatment facility and distribution system compounds the use of that water that we get each year by taking it through the sewer system, processing it, and utilizing it for irrigation water at some point in time, and it's done all over the country and the world. That water is going to be processed to culinary grade again, and we're going to be drinking the same drops of water half a dozen times before it's gone.
Right.
So if you're honest in your thinking, you would have to acknowledge that a reuse system like is being proposed here actually expands the source. It expands the volume of water that you have to use if you're going to use it, you know, four or five or six times over. And that's the solution to the water problem. So someone who says we don't have the water, they're right in the sense that if the pumps go down, you know, we only have so much in the reservoirs, and that's it. And whatever Mother Nature provides to us, which
right now isn't good.
She hasn't been nice to us this year.
Yeah.
But the plan acknowledges the growth that's going to happen over the next 20 years, and demonstrates the capacity for us to sustain that growth. What happens in the next 20 years, I don't know. But all you have to do, Andy, is look at places like Israel and so forth. We went to San Diego only 2 or 3 weeks ago to look at their reuse treatment facility. This is the wave of the future. Because there's less and less water being dropped onto the ground and flowing down our rivers, including the Colorado, we're going to have to take the water that we're given and multiply its use.
Use it better.
And that's the solution for the future.
Zach Ransom one time said, you know, if you could invent a cost-effective desalinization method, you'd be a very, very, very rich man right now. And he says, because that's the problem right now. We have all this water in the oceans. We can't really use it the way we need to.
Yeah, so the story with water is it's going to get more expensive. It is wherever you are, but certainly will become that here because every new source is costlier to produce.
Now, Zach talked a little bit about something called the ick factor, where people are going, I'm not going to drink that because that was, you know, that was gray water before, or that, or even if we ever get the Warner Valley Reservoir built, that is supposed to be mostly secondary water that you would be water skiing in or kayaking or whatever it is. And he said that, you know, people are going to have to get over the ick factor because it shouldn't be.
Well, anybody who lives in or has been to Las Vegas and had a drink of water, the odds are 90% that they're drinking water that came down through somebody's house, either through the washing machine or down the toilet or whatever. The fact is that technology solves problems. And the capability exists now through various types of filtering systems to take water that is the most disgusting type and purify it to the point that it's absolutely safe for drinking and whatnot. In fact, cleaner than the water we're drinking right now.
It's amazing, actually, when
it's
you
amazing.
Think about it. It is quite amazing. Do you guys have an IvanJet? Do you have water meters, the individual water meter things that the smart meters, I guess?
AMI metering is the next thing we're doing. As a matter of fact, we're just selecting the particular type that we're going to use, and that's a program that's going to be ongoing for the next 2 or 3 years in Ivins.
I know. I live in St. George City, and our neighbor, they're doing it by neighborhood, so they're slowly doing it. You're probably going to do something similar, but our neighborhood wasn't done yet, but we found out, because our water bill was a little bit high, that we had a leak, and we're like, hey, we want to try to figure out where this leak is and how much it's leaking. And they actually came in and put a smart meter on our home, and we figured out we were losing about 10 gallons a day, which isn't a lot unless you start doing the math. Okay, that's 3,650 gallons a year. You know, that turns out to be a lot. And so we were able to, with the smart meter figure out, okay, something has sprung a leak. Let's figure out what it was. And we traced it to a little pond in our backyard.
It's a great technology. Can save up to 10% of the total water use. It has done in some areas. So, yeah, it's a terrific improvement.
Has there been any pushback from any citizens about smart meters? I mean,
well, we don't have it. So the beauty of the smart metering is that not only does the city know if you have a leak, they know if water's flowing constantly. But you can too. You probably did. You downloaded the app, so on your smartphone you can actually watch in real time what's going on through your water meter, and so you would self identify a problem probably before the city would even be alerted about it.
It's really, really cool. And you're right. We did. We were able to download the app and look exactly at what was going on, and it's genius. I know that there have been people that have called into the show when we're talking about water and said, well, you're already affecting my quality of life. If you're telling me I can't water my lawn whenever I want to, but I guess my answer to them, and maybe I don't know if you can agree or disagree, my answer is, look, you chose to live and move into a place where we have some water. I mean, if you're not worried, you know, if you don't want to ever have to worry about water, you know, go live right next to the Mississippi River or something and you'll be fine. But this is a place where we have to worry about water. That's a part of who we are here in Southern Utah.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been here a while, nobody's telling you have to turn off your sprinklers. If you're moving here, understanding that there are severe restrictions on what kind of landscape you can have. But that, you know, that's the new folks, and they come with an understanding that that's what they're getting into.
All right, down to the final minute, Mayor. Any last thoughts on Ivins? Life is good in Ivins? Everything's good?
Life is good in Ivins. A wonderful place to live, wonderful place to visit. Rapidly becoming a significant resort destination, in part through Black Desert and others. So watch out for us. LPGA coming in May, going to be another terrific event that's going to, and it doesn't just expose Ivan City. It's a regional thing.
We love it. Mayor, thank you again for coming today. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
It has been for me, too. Thank you, Andy.
Mayor Chris Hart, and by the way, if you're looking for me, I'll be on that trail out there into the petroglyphs this Saturday on my birthday. So
don't fall down.
I'll try not to. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
You bet.
I'll be back tomorrow, Open Line Friday. We'll talk to you then.